Hi, and welcome to Brooks in Babylon, and I'll be your host, Delroy Brooks. Every week, we want to be able to give you a verse of the day, and our verse of the day is Jeremiah 17:10. It says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Again, that's Jeremiah 17:10, English Standard Version. The world we live in is a very chaotic place. Whether it's managing your family or just trying to get a handle on your life, it can feel like there is not enough time or space to be a well-rounded person. And if you're like me, you look at people in your age range and you attempt to gauge whether you are where you're supposed to be. This podcast is my attempt at growth and community. Hopefully, you will be a part of our community and I'm attempting to grow. I hope that as we discuss topics with guests and even with you, that you will gain a deeper walk, that you will have wiser thoughts, and that we can have a peace that will grant us all rest in these chaotic times. Another Brooks Adventure. As this podcast is an object of my own personal growth and hopefully yours too, from week to week, I'm going to be sharing with you something that I learned. And this week, I learned something called leader style leadership. From a book called Turn the Ship Around by retired U.S. Navy Captain L. David Marquet. The premise of his book is basically moving people from a leader follower, meaning if you're a follower of a leader, you basically do whatever the leader says. Typically like when we play the game, follow the leader. Well, Captain Marquet promotes a leader style of leadership. And within the leader paradigm, there is control, which is taking control away from the leader and giving it to the follower, eventually making them into a leader. Using deliberate action, causing people to think before they do something rather than do things out of routine or rote. He uses a phrase, I intend to, when subordinates are dealing with those who are ahead of them. They're basically reporting what they're about to do by saying, I intend to, and there is either going to be assent or agreement or disagreement. But the idea is that the person who is the other leader would be saying what it is that they're about to do and what it is that they want to do. And one of the other things they talk about is don't brief, but certify. Don't just tell me, but verify that whatever it is that we're talking about, that you know what you're doing. The leader view of leadership promoted by Captain Marquet is something that moved his submarine from being at the bottom of the fleet as far as their morale and growth opportunities to being among the tops of the fleet with probably the most people advancing to other fields within the military or even outside of the military. So that was my adventure this week. I got through this book by L. David Marquet, and I'm on to the next thing. Every week I suggest, hey, you should try to learn something every week too. Why not? You've got this one life. Why don't we try to do the best that we can with it? That's it for another Brooks Adventure. In 1961, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby created a superhero team whose archetype was family. They would eventually be referred to as the first family of comics. They were pretty ordinary people who had ordinary lives until they came in contact with a cosmic storm in space. When they crash-landed back on Earth, they found out that they had been changed as a result of their exposure to this storm. They were no longer ordinary. They were fantastic. The Fantastic Four are represented by ideas and archetypes that we can find in our very own communities. There was Mr. Fantastic, also known as Reed Richards. He had the power to stretch his limbs and body to extraordinary proportions. He is like that person in your community that tends to stretch themselves too thin. There is Sue Storm. She's also known as the Invisible Girl. She was shy and uncertain. How many more people are like this in our communities? People who want to just fade into the background. Then there was Johnny Storm. He was the Human Torch. He was hot-headed, impetuous, and he had the tendency to run off without thinking through what he wanted to do. Then there was Ben Grimm, the ever-loving Thing. He tended to rely on his brawn over his brains, and he became a creature of brute strength. All of us are guilty of being like the Thing, believing in our own strength rather than trusting in the Almighty. And they had a nemesis. His name was Dr. Doom. He was a former friend of Reed Richards, who, because of his jealousy of Reed, was horribly disfigured during an experiment, and he sought revenge on Reed at every turn. The text that I liken to this Fantastic Four can be found in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 9, where it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." Peter, who was writing to people who were not traditionally known as churchgoers, was trying to encourage them that they could be a part of the kingdom of God, that they indeed were chosen. First of all, do you remember what it means to be chosen, or have you ever felt chosen? I remember being a kid and growing up, and when we would go out to the park and play games at the park, there was a point when there had to be teams chosen. And oh, did I want to be among those chosen early to be on the team. At that point in my life, I wasn't all of that athletic. I wore very thick glasses on. I was extremely thin. But as a result, that would tend to have me being picked closer to last. But I would just be grateful to be chosen and to be on the team. I didn't really care about the order as long as I got on the team. Today, I want to just encourage you. You are chosen, and because you're chosen, you have a purpose. Then there's also the idea of being a royal priesthood. This expression means that there are royal kingdom of priests, and this is not a singular designation for one particular group or ethnicity. This is a broad demarcation of all who would accept the sacrifice of Jesus. As a kingdom of priests, that means there's a difference in my walk. There's a difference in my talk, because not only am I priestly, but I am royalty. And as royalty, we've got some particular things that are available to us. We've got the power of kings over sin and Satan. We've got the riches of kings. We've got access to Christ, the unsearchable riches and treasures in heaven. The book of Psalms says, "For every animal of the forest are mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills." We've got the apparel of kings. We've got the robe, Christ's robe of righteousness. We've got the fare of kings, that all of our needs would be supplied. We also have the king's retinue. These are the retainers or attendants accompanying high-ranking people. These are the angels that we have that surround us all, these angels that act as ministering spirits to every one of us. As a result of being a priesthood, of a royal priesthood, we've got access and all of these things available to us. But that's not all. We are also referred to as a holy nation. This title was originally afforded to the children of Israel, but we are included in that. They're not holy, not because of their any intrinsic moral value or virtue. We are set apart for God's service, and we are inspired and sustained by His Holy Spirit. And then finally, the King James says, "We are a peculiar people." The NIV says, "A people belonging to God." Whichever way you put it, this means that we are the possession of God. We belong to Him, and He has placed His stamp on us. The Ruah, breath of God, in which Adam became a living soul. And since He has made us His own, we find the beginning and end of our existence in Him. The Fantastic Four were an ordinary family, and I guess like any other family, except for the day they came in contact with that cosmic storm, they were never the same again. I guess the same can be said for you and I when we come in contact with a cosmic Jesus. We are transformed from ordinary to a chosen generation. When we came in contact with a cosmic Jesus, we were transformed from ordinary to a royal priesthood. When we came in contact with a cosmic Jesus, we were transformed from ordinary to a holy nation. I say when we came in contact with a cosmic Jesus, we were transformed from ordinary to a peculiar people, and that is just fantastic. But all of these transformations were not for us to gloat or pat ourselves on the back. These transformations took place so that we would sing forth the praises of Him who has saved us, so that we would dance for joy for Him who has redeemed us, so that we could scream at the top of our lungs for Him who has called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. He has called us. He has made us. He has caused us to sing, because you didn't always could drive a nice car. You didn't always could put on nice stuff. Some of us had to get up from the flow up in order to be here and to recognize that we've got a good God who does good things for His people. So like many of us, the Fantastic Four represents those of us who've been stretched too thin. Let God be your resting place, your pastor, your shepherd. For those who felt like they were lost in the crowd, He has given us the Holy Ghost boldness to proclaim boldly His soon coming kingdom. For those of us who were hot-headed and impetuous, like Peter, He is representing living water that you can cool down with. For those of us who are still trying to do everything in our own strength, Jesus says, "Cast all your cares on Me, for He cares for you." And although that counterfeit king is still trying to remind you of your past, you can remind him of his future. We cannot afford to be satisfied with ordinary, because God is calling us to be fantastic. And that's it for us this week on Brooks in Babylon. We look forward to connecting with you again next week as we grow and expand for the kingdom of God. Later.